From the Dirty Dirty to the Hyphy Babe to the Big Apple where hip-hop began, we got you covered. Real hip-hop, my man.
Pump that bass.
Breakdown FM.
Bam, boom, laisse tout ma criblé de loukoum en direct. Je m'éjecte et pulvérise sur les insectes.
Sous nom de Clotaire.
Juste un homme dans le rôle du verre dans la pomme.
Représente
contre une société puante.
Sur la mauvaise
pense.
On doit arriver sur la détente parce qu'il nous mente pour de l'argent.
Ne jette que des miettes.
Nous manipule avec du vent.
Tactique, esthétique pour écouler leur stock d'armes automatiques. La balistique charcute trop de pays. Dirige tous les conflits, les allume, éteigne et n'élimine que ceux qui craignent. Alors guise dans le sang, baigne nos enfants. Mais tôt ou tard, tout se paye inévitablement. À force d'écraser la masse pour que s'efface la menace avec le temps qui
passe.
Ce sont les mutants qui la remplacent. À fouler des fruits, ça finit par semer des graines. Et nos arbres qui germent finalement refilent la gangrène.
Ce système
qui veut qu'on le traîne comme modèle suprême. Quand bien même il nous entraîne vers une fracture mondiale
extrême.
L'intolérance ne gommera pas nos différences. Je suis et je pense face à tant d'ignorance. N'acceptons pas d'une vie jetable comme un rasoir. Ni dans le temps, ni dans l'espace, sans aucune place pour l'espoir, ni même de respect pour les autres races.
C'est nous dans la face que le feu trépasse.
Sache que la force est entre les mains de celui qui s'oppose. C'est lui qui ose armer ses frères avec sa seule. Détenir les clés du savoir et pourtant plus de choses devant un ennemi qui lui propose tant de dollars.
Accessoires,
puissance acquise par tant de mépris. Érigé sur des corps qui gisent. Vous me taxez de tiers, mais je suis un monstre à part entière qui prépare son éveil dans le silence de la prière.
David D hanging out with you this afternoon, and we had to start things off with a song off of the album that is Lebanese by my man Clotaire K. He's from Beirut. Of course, we had him on yesterday, and he was dropping some serious knowledge as to what the situation is over there right now between the conflict between the Lebanese and Israel. We want to continue that discussion and maybe get a Palestinian perspective on things. So our guest this afternoon, we got very special guests. We have Dr. Hatem Bazian, professor over at UC Berkeley. And we also have Mr. Frederick. Frederick, one of my favorite producers in the entire world. He is known for doing a lot of the production behind Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Ice Cube, The Dog Pound, you name it. He's done a tremendous amount of production, working with Dr. Dre, all kind of folks. And so it's good to have you guys on. But let me start off with you, Dr. Hatem. What's your perspective on what is going on now in Lebanon, and how does it find its connection to what is taking place in Palestine?
Well, the situation in Lebanon has been in flux for a number of months, if not years. Over the past 2 years, there's been pressure on Lebanon to try to once again ignite the civil war by reorienting or reconfiguring the split that exists and the various sectarian tendencies that were part of the civil war in the 70s and early 80s. And Hezbollah features prominently in this because it's the largest community in Lebanon, and it's also the one of the best trained forces that were responsible actually for evicting the Israelis from South Lebanon over a 20-year period of guerrilla warfare and resistance. So the Lebanese scene is an extension of the view of what was taking place relative to Israel, relative to war in Iraq, as well as the containment of Syria that's on high on the agenda of the U.S. and Israel.
So let me just remember, you said that they broke up a lot of the sectarian sects there. So you had the Shiites, which a lot of people in Hezbollah are. You have the Christians.
Sure.
You have Muslims. Is there anybody else I forgot in there?
Well, you have Sunni Muslims in Lebanon. You have the Druze, which is also another sect within Lebanon. But these are the forces that had the civil war in the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Israeli policy or approach has been to use these sectarian divisions as a way of putting pressure on Syria first, and then by extension also Iran, and thus removing any external pressure on Israel borders from the north.
Okay. Now, for people who have never been to Lebanon, and especially like into Beirut, we're talking about cab rides away from getting to any of these borders, Syria, Palestine, and all those. I mean, at least that's how it was when I was there. They would say, take a cab there.
It's a very close proximity. Yeah. I would say it would be a little bit larger than the Bay Area in general. So we're not talking about large areas. A three-hour drive in all directions will get you into the border of one country or another in the region.
Okay, now, you know, the question is, how does Palestine equate into this? And what immediately came to mind was the type of response that Israel has had to something that, I mean, it could definitely have been resolved another way. You're talking about kidnapping two soldiers, that's the word that they used, and next thing you know, you got 50 dead in the infrastructure of a city demolished. You look at what is going on in the Gaza Strip, you know, same sort of devastation. What's your comments on that? And I'll get your perspective and also get Fred's as well.
Well, Israel usually uses disproportionate force anytime that there is any type of military engagement. They have the understanding or the belief that you just pound them very hard until they surrender. This theory or this practice has been proven wrong time and time again, in the sense that people are not going to give up their resistance just for the mere fact that you can muscle up more than they can. Israel is essentially telling the Palestinians, at least from the most recent election, that really you have to declare complete surrender because of the, at least the disparity of power relations between Israel and the Palestinians. And as such, they want to have a complete surrender, where Israel actually dictates the terms of Palestinian surrender, and as such, have its way by what's called unilateral disengagement. So this is what's taking place in terms of the Palestinians, in terms of the Gaza Strip. Israel has attacked the electric grid, the electric regenerating company, attacked the university, the Islamic University in Gaza, attacked the student center in there, also have blown up bridges. All the infrastructure has been attacked by Israel, on the guise that if you punish the population, they will actually distance themselves from the government that they elected. This is international law. It's called collective punishment. It's a violation of the 4th Geneva Convention and violation of the United Nations Charter and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Under no circumstances, any power has the right to punish civilian population, even if their army or their armed wing conducted operations that would be deemed to be outside the domains of conduct of regular operations. So as such, Israel is using disproportional force, violations of international law in this sense. The last part is that all this is carried out by U.S.-made weapons provided to it by the United States free of cost. And this is also a violation of U.S. law, which prohibits a country that is recipient of U.S. aid and military weapons to use those weapons against civilian population. And we see this taking place on Israel on a daily basis.
That's the voice of Dr. Hatem Bezian, a Middle East expert and also professor at UC Berkeley. I'm bringing to the mic right now well-known producer, Fred Reck. Fred, you know, you're hearing all this. You're a young cat yourself. You hear what Dr. Hatem was saying about, you know, this collective punishment, and if you punish the population, people will surrender. How do you feel when you hear about this, and how do you feel with, you know, monitoring all this situation? Are you ready to surrender?
First off, I'd like to thank the doctor. I wish they would let him be on the more cable news channels so they can get a real idea of what's really going on instead of these biased people that they have on there, like Waleed Faris and all these guys that I don't know where they get them from. I'd like to thank the doctor for that. But, yeah, I mean, basically that's what they're thinking is, well, we're going to pound the population and get them to surrender the soldiers, which is not going to happen because the people there have already been through that. It's like when you're at zero, you can't go below zero. You know what I mean? They can pound the people all they want. And, you know, they're putting a twist on it and saying, well, we did this because they kidnapped our soldiers. But they don't tell you that how many Hezbollah people they kidnapped and how many Palestinian people, prisoners they have in their prison that are being held by Israel, you know, with no trials for 20, 30 years. You know, Israel holds around 10,000 prisoners in their prisons. And this is women and children, too. And 90% who have been tortured by Israel, too. And they don't have to be accounted for from any country. Any human rights people can't go see them. And so, you know, if they capture a soldier, it's their way to get some of their prisoners out of their prison.
So that's that other perspective. Well, you know, what do you say to the people that say, well, you know, these are terrorists and they're killing innocent people. Like, I was watching New York news, so you can imagine what was going on there. And they were showing, like, the Fox reporter almost got hit by the grenades. And then they're showing the building that got hit. And they show these one or two incidents, and they're like, you know, everybody's going to camp, including the ambassador to the UN, saying, well, this is the reason why we have to hit them hard. I mean, how do you feel about that, and what do you think people should really know? I'll start off with you, Fred, and then go to Dr. Hatem.
Well, you got to also remember they're calling Hezbollah a terrorist organization. I mean, even in Iraq, they call the people fighting the soldiers terrorist organizations when really they're just resistance fighters. I mean, if you go to another people's country and they fight you back, they're automatically terrorists, which is not the case here. I mean, these people are fighting for, you know, the protection of their country. You have to remember that Israel is occupying the Sheba Farms and the Golan Heights, which is a territory that belongs to another country, and they want the United Nations to make Lebanon abide by resolutions that says that Hezbollah has to disarm itself. But nobody's holding the Israelis accountable for all the UN resolutions that it's violated by occupying the Golan Heights, occupying the Sheba Farms, occupying Gaza, occupying the West Bank. And they want to fool you and try to say, oh, well, we were occupying Gaza and we unilaterally withdrew from Gaza and took all our settlements down, but really they still occupy it. It's surrounded, it's practically a prison camp, surrounded on all sides by military. It's constantly being bombarded. They want to talk about Hamas kidnapping an Israeli soldier in return for the release of prisoners, and you know, they're saying, well, you know, we did all this goodwill stuff and now they're going to still kidnap our soldiers. But they forget to tell you that a couple weeks before, Israel bombed a whole family that was just sitting on the beach and indiscriminately bombed innocent civilians this whole time. They never show you that. They only want to show you the Israeli side of it. So it's very one-sided. And then you have the American government that just comes out and says, oh, well, you know, you guys just have a restraint and everything that the Israelis are doing is, you know, that's their policy. That has nothing to do with us. But it's all under our wing, you know. It's like if the Taliban used the Al-Qaeda to do their dirty work for them, what did we say? Well, we said, you guys do the dirty work for them too. You guys are both together. And it's the same thing over there. Israel, anything Israel does, America pays for, and there is an American hand over there. And they can easily, just as easily, be unbiased and say, hey, well, you know, you guys, those are our military weapons, and those are our things that you guys are using to oppress the people, and that has to stop. But they won't, because the American, the American government and the Jewish lobbyists in this country, you know, control the policies of America over there. And until that stops, this is what we're going to see. And they can never be an even-sided negotiator for peace over there. And as long as you have the oppressive army occupying another country, as you can see, bombing civilians, there's already 100 people have been killed in Lebanon, innocent civilians, mind you. You know, if 100 people was to be killed in this country, I mean, we would go crazy over a country. Yeah. You know, I mean, we would invade it and bomb the hell out of everybody. So, you know, Israel's over there bombing innocent civilians. It's not like they're bombing an army barracks or any type of military thing. They're bombing innocent civilians, bombing cities, bombing airports, and America just stands by and has the veto power. And that's the whole reason why America is looked downward in the whole Middle East. America will never have a positive look in the Middle East as long as we support the Israeli actions and we veto the UN resolutions. Israel has violated the most UN resolutions in the history of the United Nations and has never been accounted for any of it.
Well, that's the voice of Fred Reck, in case you don't know who he is. Fred Reck, well-known producer of artists like Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Eminem, Ice Cube, a whole lot of folks. That's him breaking the science. We're going to take a musical break. I want to come back and get your remarks, Dr. Hatem Bizian, as well, Professor at UC Berkeley. We'll be right back here on Hard Knock Radio.
Dear Mr. President,
yeah.
The world has gone astray.
Yeah,
brothers are dying.
What?
They won't live to see today.
Live to see another day, though.
Was it all worth it?
Was it?
You had to lie to get your way.
Look at you. Look at this.
Blood's thicker than water.
That's right.
What a price we had to pay.
Look at the price now.
Dear Mr. President,
yo.
You and your friends, you are the crooks.
Look at y'all. Look at this.
Selling out the poor man.
Uh-huh.
The soldiers' lives are took.
Look at that now.
I can't see no difference from Mr. Hussein to Mr. Bush.
Look at this.
Death and deception.
Uh-huh.
It's the brew the devil cooks.
Dear Mr. President, you had a family.
Oil tycoons, there were billions. You even pissed on the public for the cash. You started a deadly war and hiked up the gas. That's cause your real paycheck comes from OPEC. Do the Bin Ladens also send endorsements?
K to the R to the S to the 1. My condolences to those that lost their son. Maybe lost their daughter when they crossed them borders. Baby, I'm here for you, it's the new world order. Time's getting shorter while them crimes get longer. I'm hot in the sauna when I flow low on you. I'm in California, but I'm on every corner. KRS, print, rent, never say we never warned ya. Conscious lyrics, it's time for a little bit. You hear how I'm spitting it, no one is innocent. East Coast oppression, yeah, the West Coast is living it. West Coast oppression, yeah, the East Coast is giving it. Every time we say that bash cash, we getting it. Every time we diss the future with our kids in it. Every time we push the fly rise, they slaving ya. Soon we'll be rapping for Saudi Arabia.
Dear Mr. President, the world has gone astray. Dying, they won't live to see today. Was it all worth it? You had to lie to get your way. Blood's thicker than water, what a price we had to pay. Dear Mr. President, you and your friends, you are the crooks. Selling out the poor man, the soldiers' lives it took. I can't see no difference from Mr. Hussein to Mr. Bush. It's the brutal devil goose.
I told y'all, Indians, it's a war outside. But the Indians don't listen till the missiles start to fly. America ain't nothing but the fantasy life. But the end soon come for that bullish life. Hold up, before that come, I gotta get mine. This money is all that matters at the present time. Fuck a war in Iraq, I'm warned to survive. Right here in the hood, in these New York Times. They got these dudes blowing up ish to no avail. Fuck that, I'd rather rot in jail. Show y'all better than I could tell. I ain't buying what them senators sell. While they passing the bills, we living in hell.
Two deadly suicide car bombs in the Iraqi capitalist day. In one of those attacks, another soldier from Kabul, Baghdad, an American soldier, has died.
War, we all enlisted, yeah. Business and pleasure. The next ex-pres don't know the difference. Strategic planning, my city's in panic. Propaganda spread, the truth's kept candid. When push comes to shove and shove to push, we in the same corner saying Buck Fush. It's evidence, they'll remember the name. It's Fred Rett, West Coast, legends of game.
Can't even watch the news, it's depressing. I see them belling through Saddam's hood with Smith and Wessons and dropping all kind of bombs with aggression. Mama should stand my prayers for someone to hold you while I pour out some Louis for the fallen soldiers. Best to turn to the Lord, for he's the best to console you. And that's the realest thing Mac-10 ever told you. It didn't have nothing to do with no domino and crippin'. Them dudes lost their lives overseas, pistol gripping. Sent youngsters to Iraq to leave blood dripping. They wanna lock up all my homies for set tripping. It didn't have nothing to do with no domino and crippin'. Them dudes lost their lives overseas, pistol gripping. Sent youngsters to Iraq to leave blood dripping. They wanna lock up all my homies for set tripping.
Mr. President, I ain't hesitant. I fly this kite on behalf of Gary G. affiliate and my resident. Blue collar taxpayers, any drinkers. I'm holding my nuts in the ghetto, giving you the middle finger. Fuck war, the years would have been ignored. But when it's time for war, that's the only time you fuck with the poor. Land of the free, but I don't see no sunshine. Just Indians and Latinos on the front line. United States, nah, you're not. Snakes, where they cast the black folks out and our votes don't count, but we still keep hoping, try to vote, but like the public enemy logo, you keep the guns in the sniper scope, make me throw my hands up and wonder how the Bush getting power, all of a sudden go down to Twin Towers, daddy must have passed the word down, I guess it's true what they say, gangsters make the world go round.
The only good Bush is the one you fought last night, not the one who sends your brothers off to war and fight, you have smoking ears for the blind eyes and deaf ears, how many more years we accept lies and cry tears, they say selfies to the masses, just so they can justify all their fucked up actions. By elections, avoid any questions, give fake answers, America's cancer. The little puppet with must learn. You're a fool if you want the fucker one more term. Get him out.
Dear Mr. President, the world has gone astray. Brothers are dying, they won't live to see today. Was it all worth it? You had to lie to get your way.
We're back here, Hard Knock Radio, David D. And Fred, we had to play your song, which is actually featured on Paris's album. Fred is the one that was behind that song talking about the war in Iraq. We were just talking off the air, and you know, you're a constant advocate. You run around and try to drop these gems of knowledge to everybody, and you know, from Snoop on down, and try to get them to record these records and put these messages out. And that's reflected in the songs that you've done. We got another one that you did with everybody from KRS on down to Cypress Hill. Man, you hitting them hard with the music, huh?
You know, I feel responsible to, you know, not only do the party songs and do the records that we're known to do, but, you know, we have to take responsibility and be able to speak out and educate our fans and our listeners on the situations out there. So, you know, as an Arab and as a hip-hop producer, I just feel, you know, responsible to do that, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Well, there you go. Before we went to the break, Dr. Hatim Bazian, I wanted to get some of your perspective, and, you know, we were talking about this whole thing where Israel is saying they're defending themselves and that there's been these terrorist acts, et cetera, et cetera. Let me ask you this. Maybe you can expound particularly on the fact that Hamas, after being pressured by the U.S., was elected by the Palestinian people. You know, they said, you got to do it, you got to do it. They put their money behind somebody else, and the people went for Hamas. You have Hezbollah, you know, again, they get voted in Lebanon. What is this thing where the U.S. will do all this stuff and then suddenly don't want to respect the results of these democratic elections?
Israel often or continuously wants to cast its conflict with the Palestinians and its presence in the region that it is fighting against terrorism. They're not telling us that if we have a definition of terrorism, then we have a state-sponsored terrorism in Israel, because occupation is the highest form of terrorism, because you're terrorizing everyone in the population. You have 1.5 million Palestinians in the Gaza Strip that are being terrorized as a matter of state policy. As well as in the West Bank, 2 million Palestinians are being terrorized as a means of a state policy. When you attack electricity and you rob people of the ability to have electricity, meaning that they, people who are in hospital, people who need dialysis, people who, kids who need some basic services and so on, will be robbed of these services, thus causing a whole layer of civilian population to be impacted, die as a result of these policies. So Israel, in essence, wants to cast itself as fighting terrorism, while in reality it actually conducts itself with a state-sponsored terrorism. Now, the language that is used in here in public discourse attempts to link to the American consciousness, in the sense saying that America is fighting terrorism, and therefore we are on the side of America fighting terrorism, and thus to suspend the intellectual ability, if there is any, of the average American, and thus will sanction what Israel is doing to the Palestinians, to the Lebanese, not realizing that by doing so, it's actually increasing the hostilities, increasing the dissatisfaction that many people across the Arab and Muslim world have with U.S. policy as well as Israel policy. We have to reconfigure the situation in the sense that Israel is the number one violator of international law, without exception. We could say the United States likewise, but in relation to the immediate region, Israel is the number one violator of international law, of the Fourth Geneva Convention, which is a document that the world community developed in after the 1940s period of the Second World War to say that never again. But in essence, never again does not mean that Israel cannot engage in all its activities. Actually, it engages in all these activities. Israel also is in violation of the United Nations resolution. We have Resolution 181, which calls for the creation of a Palestinian state. Israel refuses to recognize Palestinian sovereignty. Resolution 194, which says that Palestinians have the right of return to their homes and lands. Israel still refuses to allow Palestinians to go back to their homes and lands, even Palestinians who still have the keys to their own homes, which essentially the Israeli society as a whole benefited from systematic ethnic cleansing of Palestinians.
Right. Well, you know, when I'm listening to all these violations, mm-hmm. and I'm looking at the refusal to accept wholeheartedly the results of something that they asked to have happen, these elections, Sure. And then I'm thinking back, even going further back, that, you know, Israel, as well as our country here in the States, was, you know, we were the main ones supporting the apartheid regime. A lot of people forget about that, you know, back in the days when the terrorism was taking place in, you know, in South Africa. It just seems like this is a case of just white world supremacy in full effect.
And
you know, it's like, what do you do at the end of the day? Obviously, if the rules ain't going to be followed, what should we be doing?
Well, we continue to resist. It's interesting that the Palestinians in the Middle East are called the Indians of the Middle East. And it's no coincidence, because you have a whole concept of manifest destiny. In essence, the Zionist movement said, God promised us this land, and therefore we're just acting on behalf of God.
And do they have a contract with God that they can show us?
Well, that's the thing, we need to...
I'm being sarcastic.
But that part of it, in the sense that you have power manifested in a particular social, ethnic, and religious configuration, supported by right wing in this country, mm-hmm. that sees some element of fulfillment overseas, and as such, that's what the dynamics, and this is what the Palestinians and the Iraqis are facing.
How is that any different than, you know, somebody from Al-Qaeda saying we got to fly planes into the building because this is what Allah wants us to do, and they use this in the name of, you know...
Well, that's wrong too, but...
But it seems like it's the same. If you're sitting up here knocking people off their land and you're saying that this is God's will, I mean... Man, it's like there's nothing you can do except, you know, really resist, as you said, because I just don't see why we don't put the same label. Like, that's, you know, fanatical. That's a lunatical thing to do. I mean, it's just...
Well, I think we need to use this language, but the thing is that who is actually creating the discourse? Which language? It's Fox and Israel speak that the language that is repeated. So when you speak of terrorism, what images come to our mind? It is not the settlers who take over Palestinian territories, and it's not the settlers who took over the West in this area. We don't think of it as being part of terrorism. We don't think of it as being essentially contrary to basic human respect or human rights. We accord ourselves the right to actually march on and bomb people to smithereens. When we speak of Iraq, this concept of collateral damage, that we are moral, therefore when we bomb, we don't intend to kill civilians, but when you drop a half a ton bomb, what do you think who's going to be killed? A fly on the glass, or 200 or some civilians are going to be killed in a radius of 500 meters radius? The bomb will shatter everything in there. So this is the aspect. Like, we need to challenge the discourse. We need to challenge the language that is being placed in there. We need to change these labels that are being promoted to deny the basic humanity of Palestinians, Arabs, and I would add also African Americans. You know, driving while you're black. Why do we have, let's say, in Oakland every year you have 117 murders and nobody cares? Because they're the wrong color. If there's 117 whites who get killed in Oakland, you will find all army of psychologists and psychiatrists and all type of initiatives coming to find out what the problem. So it's the same thing. A Palestinian dying is not a problem. It's the wrong kind of a person dying, and therefore it's immaterial. In a similar sense, an African-American dying in the streets of Oakland is immaterial because he is really not a human. He's just pretending to be so. And the same thing as the Palestinians.
Well, you're breaking
that. The same thing as 10,000 prisoners being held in Israel in prisons and being tortured. Nobody ever talks about them, but when one soldier is kidnapped, it's like a big deal. Oh, my God, we have to go to war to rescue him. But they don't talk about all the prisoners or the women and children that are sitting in those prisons rotting to death under those conditions with no human rights, no Red Cross can go in there to visit them or any of that.
You know, we have 9,800 Palestinian prisoners, among them 388 children that are in prison. One-third of the Palestinian parliament has been kidnapped from its own homes and taken into Israeli prisons. Almost one-half of the Palestinian ministers, are in Israeli jails. And I would say, once again, my role is also to make a link between what's happening here in the U.S. as well as what's happening abroad. The racism that we experience domestically in here is just reflected internationally. We have almost 2 million prisoners. The majority of them are African Americans. It's not by coincidence, in the same sense that many of the prisoners overseas are browns and blacks like you and me, that nobody actually is paying attention, and we need to bring their case up to people to realize what is occurring.
Okay. Well, that's some real science there. You know, we're going to get ready to wrap things up, and I want to give you guys an opportunity to give some last minute comments. I'm going to start off with you, Hatem, and then I'll conclude with Fred. What's the one or two things that you would ask people listening to do with this ongoing conflict and as we move on and continue to monitor it?
What I would tell them that what Bishop Desmond Tutu said in relation to when he visited Palestine, he said the circumstances of the Palestinians is 10 times as bad as the situation under apartheid. And I think they need to realize when they're seeing what is taking place relative to the Palestinians, they need to know that this is something of robbing people of their land and their property and pushing them around, and this has to stop, and people need to show their support and sympathy to the Palestinians.
Right, and remember, South Africa, you know, found a lot of support with Israel under apartheid. It seems like for people that were oppressed and went through the Holocaust to sit there and continuously have this track record that doesn't seem to be on the right side of things, that's very disappointing, and it's something that we need to always, like they say, never forget. You know, I haven't forgotten who you were supporting during that time. Fred, what's your last comments?
I mean, my comments are, don't believe everything that the news tells you. You know, that the internet is out there and there's a lot of information, so you can really learn what both sides of the conflict is, and try to write your congressman or your representative. It doesn't do much because most all of them are getting that kickback money from the lobbyists for their campaigns, and they put such a bad stigma on anybody that supports the Palestinian cause that they equate it to, well, if this senator supports that, then he must be supporting terrorism. And, you know, just try to learn about the culture and the people, man. You know, what they try to make it seem is like it's a religious war. Oh, the Muslims teach their children to kill people and to kill the Jews and to hate the Jews. And that's not true, because I'm not even Muslim. I'm a Christian Palestinian. Before 1948, Christians, Muslims, Jews lived in Palestine, you know, peacefully. You know what I mean? And they don't tell you that. But, you know, when you have these right-wing people that come in and they wanted to have the whole Zionist idea come in and drive the people out of their homeland, they don't teach you that. They don't teach you that before 1948, that country didn't exist. And it's very sad because, just like you said, the things that happened to the Jewish people in the Holocaust was, like, disgusting. You know what I mean? And for them to turn around and do almost pretty much the same thing, putting people in the gas chambers and burning them, you know, it's like the Israelis have put themselves up there in the same book as Hitler. They're like right next to him, a couple pages down, you know what I mean? And that's very sad that they didn't learn from that.
Something to think about. You know, as we let you go, what are some of the projects you're working on so people listening may be on the lookout?
I wouldn't even have them look at the project, man. I'd rather you guys just waste your time and go on the internet and go to Wikipedia and all these different sites and read about the history of the people and the conflict and just learn about what's really going on out there. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, there you go. Fred Reck, producer extraordinaire. I appreciate that. You know, rather than look at the music, look at the history of the people, the Palestinians, and their quest to get from underneath the oppressor's boot. And Dr. Hatem, I appreciate you taking time out, and we'll be on the lookout for you. Hopefully, hear your voice again on these airwaves.
Thank you, David.
Peace,
thank
everybody.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you, David. Appreciate it.
We're out for now. Later.